I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you a good person?
Nope.
Hey, an honest man in church. There you go. Are you a good person? Boy, you want to say yes, don't you? But it's a tough question. It's an uncomfortable question. So I'll go first, okay? Let me see here. Let me see if I can help you out. I pick up litter. Okay, you know, hey, all right, pretty good. I give the extra dollar at the grocery store. I do the roundup thing. I donate to most of the GoFundMe people that I see on Facebook and everything. A little while ago, I bought some socks and a sweater for a homeless guy on campus. And earlier this week, I picked up gum from the men's room urinal. Yeah, you nasty. That's right. And for the record, that is a real picture. But because I had already picked it up earlier, like last week, I had to recreate it. So I chewed a bunch of gum. And then I spat it out. And then I squatted down and positioned to take like 50 pictures to get the right one. And the whole time I was thinking, boy, I hope someone walks in right now. Because what do you even say? You just kind of go, I'm a weirdo. You know, that's that. And then they leave the church. But that didn't happen. But based on all of that, hands up, who thinks I'm a good person? Not as many as I'd like to see, but there's some in there. Those of you who think I am, you are absolutely wrong. You are wrong. And here's why. I did not want to do any of those good deeds that I just listed. No, in fact, I fought the urge to look away or walk past or somehow otherwise ignore almost every single opportunity to do something good when it got in the way of what I wanted to do, which was pretty much anything else. I wanted to just keep doing. And full disclosure, part of me wanted to spit my own gum where it didn't belong after I saw someone else had started it. And I was like, fine, this is what we're doing now. And I didn't. And I didn't, but I wanted to. So, as much as I would love to believe that doing good makes me good, the truth is, it is our heart, not our human, that defines our character. And that makes it infinitely more important because God decides our destiny and He's the one, you know, listen, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart, because that you inside right there, that you, the heart you, is the true you. You remember a few weeks ago when we went way back to the beginning, you know, in the creating mankind and everything, and we were doing that to clarify our composition, like what we're made out of, and we saw that the physical part of humanity is really truly just a dirt bag built to contain the spirit that God breathed into us, right? Well, that right there is why we gotta look past those outer appearances. That's just the dirty shell of us, right? We gotta look past that and see ourselves as the emotions and the opinions and the intentions of our inner self. You got that? Is that God calling? Just, we always want to be ready for it, just in case it happens. The slot machine, did we finally put those in? Cha-ching! Church pays out again. I don't hate the idea, is the sad part. Anyway, there's a whole message in there somewhere. Anyway, otherwise, we would be no better than the superficial Pharisees who got chewed out for foolishly focusing on dressing up their dirt bag, right? Because that's what they were into. Because that's why Jesus dressed them down when he said, on the outside, you Pharisees, you appear to people as righteous. But on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And it's all because these Pharisees just wrongly believe that what we see is who we are. When in reality, the real you is invisible. You can't see it. And if you ever want proof of this, you should really try this out because it's a good conversation starter. If you want proof, just ask somebody to point to themselves. You know, just say, hey, just point to yourself. And they'll go, who, me? This guy right here? And wherever it is that they aim, ask them if they mean that part of the body. You know, I'm right here. And they're like, so you're a heart? No, I'm right here. You're a head. You're a brain. And they'll always kind of say something to correct it. Like, no, I'm somewhere inside. That's what I'm pointing at, right? There's something inside that we can't really point to. And that's because of this fact. And we've said this before. The truth is, you are not a human who has a soul. You are a soul who has a human. Okay? That's the lens that we need to see everything through. And although we are responsible for how our human lives out its life, what it does not determine our righteousness. It comes down to the heart of each soul. Okay? So, stop judging by mere appearances, as we're told. But instead, judge correctly, right? Look on the inside. And now that you know how to judge correctly, who thinks I'm a bad person? Oh, you're so sweet. I am a bad person. No, that was a trap and you didn't fall for it. Good job. Regardless, if you think, because I thought the same thing. You read that and you go, I'm a bad person because I didn't want to do them. Behold your horses. What if I told you that I really truly wish that I wanted to do the right thing? Right? Even though I didn't, I wish that I did want to do it. And beyond that, when I make myself do good things, I really truly enjoy having done them. Right? Like as soon as they're passed, you're like, that was a really great experience, right? Well, regardless of whatever you guys think or whatever I think, Jesus says there's still hope for me. And here's how he phrased things in his first big sermon that gives me that kind of faith. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Isn't that great? Hunger, it doesn't say for those who are righteous, for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's great news for anyone and everyone who is having a hard time overcoming a wicked heart, or moreover, a wicked human. Because in God's eyes, we don't gotta be righteous to be blessed. We just gotta want to be righteous. That's what we're working on. Even if we struggle against sinful desires, like we do, like that's to be honest, right? Even if we struggle against those sinful desires, a heart that longs for righteousness is blessed because it will ultimately get there. And the very fact that we desire to have better desires shows that God is right now at work in us. Which is why I'm okay. I mean, otherwise I'd be like, I am a wreck. I'm a hot mess. But it's okay. It is okay because my human may have wanted to keep me walking and turn a blind eye and just keep on going. But at least, like I said, I fought the urge, right? I fought the urge to ignore the opportunity to do good deeds, or to say that sentence. I fought it. I fought the urge. I didn't want to do it, but I stopped and I made myself do it. And it's not just us. This is every Christian. Even Paul says, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. That's me. That's what my heart really is. But I see another law. I see another law also at work in me. Is waging war against the law of my mind. What a wretched human man, you know? What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this human body that is subject to death? Well, thanks be to God. He says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin, right? That's the struggle. You know that struggle. Even in the middle of our struggle, to resist our flesh, our aim matters more than our success because God steps in where we fall short, right? It's just a matter of what you want set your heart upon because he offers assistance to absolutely everyone who asks. And therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, right, that you want to follow in your mind, the law of the Spirit who gives life, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death, you know, in the body, in the flesh, down here, in the physical world. So look, basically, God knows. He knows you. He built you. He created you. He got this whole world. He knows what's going on. He designed it. It's his plan in action. God knows that we are at war in the battle of wills between our flesh and our spirit. So it is okay to be a work in progress. You can take a deep breath and let it out. It's all right. We're all a work in progress. We just gotta be in Jesus as well by inviting His Spirit to teach us to live His way. Because we have an obligation. I mean, we do. We can't just say, oh, it's, you know, too bad. I did my best. Let it go. No, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it and the flesh. That's your human, right? We have it. We're not supposed to live according to the human. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, well, then you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So you get it there? This is it. This is how you do it. You following God's Spirit is how we train our human. That's it. Set your heart, set the course, make the human follow. Because each good deed that we do gets in the way of making human mistakes. Right? Even if you don't want to, if you just fill your time with doing the right thing, it's harder to do the wrong thing. And so, personally, I can't bring myself to spit my gum out somewhere gross if I know God is just going to make me pick it up later. He tricked me. He tricked me good because He's brilliant and He's God. And He brilliantly found a way to use my selfish human desires to make me learn how to live a life led by the Spirit's selfless desires. And you just start to see that this is what you really wanted the whole time. Because it is easier to obey the orders that we don't want if they are aimed at an outcome that we do want. Right? We all know this. This is that clean your room idea. Like, nobody likes, well, a few weirdos like cleaning their room. I've never understood that. Ooh, you know, just I get to organize. It's bizarre to me. But most of us, normal people, don't like cleaning our room. And it's hard to get started because you just see the mess and you don't want to do it. But you start thinking about that clean room. Oh, I have so much space for activities, you know? And so you keep your mind set on that goal, and it makes it so much easier to do the chores. So it's the same thing. It works the same way. The Spirit's higher desires motivate our inner self to overrule our outer human. We get that idea of what we're working for, and we just bring our human along. It's kind of like the Karate Kid. Anybody seen that movie? Yeah, you have. It's just part of American social fabric. Because what's the new? I even said it. Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai, right? We're still following this story because there's something in the Karate Kid that we identify with. It's great because it's karate. I will not have you talk bad about it. It's just part of my childhood. It was always karate. Anyway, in the Karate Kid, right? Just like any teenager that I've ever met, and I've met a lot of them, right? Daniel has zero desire to do any daily chores, right? Does not want to do them. But when Mr. Miyagi promised to teach him the karate that he wanted, well, suddenly old Danny boy was willing to wax all Miyagi's cars and paint all his fences, right? Until one day, because they had that whole montage, it goes on for like several days, until one day Daniel, his disgruntled human, lashes out and says, "Where's all the karate? I thought we were learning karate here." At which point, Mr. Miyagi just throws a punch at him, right? He's like, "There's your karate." Throws a punch at him. And then Daniel instinctually blocks it using the wax on, wax off, paint the fence motions that he had been reluctantly repeating. That looked pretty good, didn't it? It was like I had... No, it didn't. I know. I am not the Kung Fu Panda. Anyway... Maybe I don't like karate as much as I thought. Anyway, he starts using the wax on, wax off, paint the fence motions that he had been reluctantly repeating all week. Because surprise, surprise, those chores that he hated were actually teaching him the karate he wanted. He just couldn't see it. Well, I'm telling you this morning, it works the same way with us. Because when we make God our Mr. Miyagi master, when we make God our master and obey His instructions, even our most mundane moments are never meaningless, right? You're never just waxing a car. You're never just picking up gum or handing out socks. You're learning the karate of righteousness. Or as Bruce is dying for me to call it, karate. That's what we'll call it. Karate. That is, I apologize. I didn't want to say it, but it's too good to not. Anyway, karate. The karate, that's what you're doing. That's the righteousness that our inner self really wants most. And just like Daniel, it is okay to get grumpy when you get sick of just simply going through the motions, because all that really means is that you haven't connected the pain to the training yet. Right? You haven't seen that you're not just doing chores. You're actually learning that karate that you wanted to learn. And so it just takes a while for you to make that connection and see the purpose in what you're doing. You know, believe me, when I was picking up that gum, I was like, God, I don't want to. He goes, that's why you got to do it. And it's good for you and it trains you. But until you can make that connection, all you have to do is want that right heart and obey your orders and just trust the process. You don't got to see it. You don't got to understand it. You just got to do it. Trust the process. God's got something going on, because even reluctant obedience eventually leads to the change that it's aimed at. And at some point, we're going to see the purpose and we're going to change our heart. You'll all of a sudden, it'll click. I'm not just picking gum out of urinals. I'm changing into the person that I'm supposed to be. So as we're told, let us not become weary in doing good. That's where you lash out and say, what am I even doing here? Don't do that. Don't get weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, Daniel had to keep going. You just keep doing it. Which is what I've been telling myself for 4 months since our family got a brand new puppy. Oh, cutest puppy, right? So cute that Ken asked me, he's like, is that an AI generated image? And I said, she's that cute for real. That's my real puppy. And just for the record, her name is Ding, which is short for Shamalama Ding Dog. It was one of the reasons I said, I'm not getting a dog unless I can name it this, because I've wanted to. There's Ding Dog. Anyway, old Ding here. Ding is learning to be a good dog. But to be true, you know, to be honest, she still does not really want to be a good dog. I see it every day. Every day that I watch our little pup fight against her flesh to do the right thing, even though she is dying to eat everyone's shoes and to get up on that coveted couch. Oh boy. She does this thing now where she just lays on the shoes and just gives them a little lick, like, I'm just taking care of them. I get you. I see what's going on. This is for you. I'm protecting these shoes from all the criminals. And then the second that you look the other way, she starts nibbling on. She's like, I'm just seeing how durable they were, you know, whatever she, but she wants it, but she's fighting so hard and she keeps an eye on us the whole time. But just recently, just like in the last few weeks, you can really start to see things click in her little doggy brain as her higher desire to please her masters has started replacing the shallow desires to please herself. You know, she's like, no, you don't want me to do that. I don't do it. What do you think about that? You know, and I'm like, good job. And she's like, oh, that feels better than any shoe tastes, you know. And it's because obedience is not about agreeing. It's about trusting. Right? You may not agree with it. You just have to trust that it's a better idea. And with each disciplined denial of her doggy dreams, she's starting to see it's just part of the process to achieve a better dream, which is a life where the master is in charge. That's suddenly now more enticing than eating the shoe, because we are the ones, as her masters, who can provide things to satisfy deep desires that she never even knew that she had. You should have seen her face the first time I gave her a little bacon bit. She was like, what is this incredible thing? And it was like all of her life had been a lie up to that point. She's like, this exists? I don't know what to do with myself. I make the same face when I eat bacon. Pretty much. But it was just, oh, I'll do anything for this. Who knew? I didn't even know that I had a taste for it. And as she learns exactly who has the goods, who has the better goods, She gets better and better at enduring the difficulties of self-denial. She's like, I know this is worth something. I know this is worth something. Because it takes a master that we trust to obey an order we dislike. Okay? That's your takeaway. Seriously, it takes a master we trust to obey an order that we dislike. And come on, if every domesticated dog can figure it out, so can we, right? Better than a dog. Better than a dog. That's us here at His Place. Yeah, that's our motto. We're better than a dog. Yet, not much better, because it is hard, right? It's very hard. Trusting the right master is something that is so hard for our human that simply getting it straight was one of Jesus' defining differences. We have such a hard time that when he did it right, it set him apart. Because while others made money or influence or their image, you know, power, any of the things that we make our master down here, which is most of us, while everybody else is doing that, Jesus submitted everything in his life just to his Father by obeying his word, period. Which showed where God's will leads, whether we understand it or not. It just shows what the master has to give, where he's taken us, whether we understand it or not. And without God as our trusted master, life feels like meaningless chores instead of valuable training. And you can get stuck in that if you forget why you're doing it, if you're not connected to the master. It can just feel like a bunch of work instead of training. Because without trust, it's misery when we disagree. It's like, I don't have a reason for doing this. And this is exactly what we see in the story of Jonah. Everybody remember Jonah? Jonah's great, right? Jonah may have his own book of the Bible, but he was far from the perfect prophet, right? This guy had some problems. Because, let's review the story, God said to Jonah, Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away, said, do you want me to go that way? See ya. Jonah ran away from the Lord and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Why? Why is this godly guy taking off? Well, it usually takes two things, right? Two things. One, his outer human didn't agree with the orders. And two, his inner spirit didn't trust God enough to make his human obey. And that's all of us. And this is confirmed at the end of this story, because after the whole middle of the story with the storm and the fish and the spitting out and all that business, Jonah finally does do right, right? Jonah delivers God's warning, Nineveh repents, and God forgives him. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. And here's what he said. He said, that mercy, he's talking about, that mercy is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I was trying to make sure that didn't happen, because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. You're so slow to anger and abounding in love. But me and my human, well, we wanted wrath. We wanted wrath upon those guys. And I knew you were going to do something godly like forgive them. So the Lord replied, hey, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? And right there, that's the convicting question, guys. That is the convicting question that gauges our goodness. Is it right for you to be angry? This is the question that we should be asking ourselves whenever we're upset with our orders. Whenever you're feeling like you're having to do something that you don't really want to do, is it right for you to be angry? Because it reveals the inner trust behind our outer actions. And here's how it works. It is okay to be angry if your human finds it hard to do the right thing. That's okay. None of us are perfect. None of us want to do the right thing a lot of the time. It's okay to be angry at that, because that means the true you, the inner you, the true you wishes that the human you would just do the good deeds you really want to do. You know, that's that inner conflict that you have there. Like Paul says, he has the same problem. He says, I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my outer human's sinful nature. For in my inner self, he's talking about, I have the desire inside me to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out with my human. Oh, my human just fights me on all this stuff. So that's all right. Remember, that's totally okay. That's when you can have that anger. It's just frustration, but your heart is set in the right place. However, on the other hand, it is wrong to be angry if your heart doesn't desire the right thing. You know, if you don't even really want to do it. Because that means the true you is in conflict with God as your master. And that means your heart is going to be so easily enslaved by your foolish human. And we hear this in Scripture as well, for it is within, right? It is from within, aka out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come and defile a person. That's where you get in trouble. That's what defiles you from inside your heart when it's not set in the right place. And it happens if it's not obstructed by the Spirit's better will. If your heart is not set on what the Spirit wants, then it'll just listen to your human. So let's go back to the question. Are you a good person? Well, really, you got to ask the follow-up question. Which part of you is against doing God's will? Is it the inner you or is it the outer you? Right? Because those are very different. Which part of you is rebelling against God, is reluctant to follow him as your master? If it's the inner you, you got to learn to trust that right master. That's the big first step that we all got to take. And all that takes is spending enough time with God to see that his Spirit satisfies all of our higher desires. Just spend time, and that'll be proven to you, guaranteed. The more time that you spend with him, you'll say, this is what I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for, and I didn't even know. This is the bacon bit that I didn't know existed. Wow, this is what I really want. Change that inner heart. Change the aim of your heart. But if it's the outer you, just your human, who's having a hard time agreeing to do what you know is right, well, join the club. Join the club. We call it church. That's all of us here. And that is called sanctification. That's what we're doing, is trying to overcome, right? That's what happens when, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. That's what we're trying to do. They call it, you know, in highfalutin theology, this is the mortification of the flesh. This is what you have to do. Put to death the old man. You gotta just get rid of it. Get rid of it. And this is the same way. How do we do that? Paul has a whole great, you know, take on this that we hear. I don't have time for all of it, but this is what he says. I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave. I tell it what to do. I let it know who's boss, right? The inner me, my heart set on God. That's what I do, is I tell my body. Because just like Paul, we all need to be getting ourselves aimed at that higher desire that the Spirit has, that higher desire. The way that Paul also says, and he puts this in a wonderful framework, he says, I consider that our present sufferings of our whiny human, right? The stuff when you're down here going, I don't want to clean my room. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get that gum out of the urinal. Those present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, right? That right there, that is the hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's, when that is filled, nothing compares. Worth all of the difficulty. Because once our human is under our soul's control, we can put our whole life under God's control. And that might mean making our human a little angry. But we should trust that our complaints will decrease as our compliance increases. We're just dogs, guys. It's the same thing. We'll just slowly start to see that this is for our own good. This is what we actually want. Because when we trust God as our master, even the orders that we reluctantly obey will start revealing that they are leading us to a righteousness that is more satisfying than the best bacon you've ever had in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you, and we love bacon. No, we love you. You made bacon. We love it all. We love everything about you. We love you, and we trust your orders as the valuable training of a very loving master. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us to follow you, to teach our human to do the good deeds that lead to those higher desires that we truly, deeply want. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for stepping in where we fell short to show us how your will for our life can make even the most mundane moments infinitely more meaningful. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.